Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, coming to you on Maroon Friday. Hopefully you're celebrating Maroon Friday, even though we don't have any seasons in session. We're still Bulldogs, 365-247. And isn't it great that we live in a country that we can celebrate Maroon Friday as we wish? It's not too much longer. What is it, 71 days, I guess, to the opening of Mississippi State's college football season? We will do an opponent preview today. We'll also talk a little bit about the official visit weekend. That'll be our first segment of the show. We'll talk about who's coming in and kind of some general overview about recruiting. We've got a top 10 list of a recently deceased singer slash guitar player that many of you know, and you probably don't know that you know him. Yeah, one of those. But yeah, a lot of comments too. I've heard from many of you, you know, I guess kind of about the soliloquy from the last show, you know, about needing someone to talk to. And I tell you, it's encouraging, but also too, it's very sad in a way, as I've mentioned, that it makes me sad to know that there's so many people out there that can't turn to maybe the people they love and trust the most. And I had somebody yesterday call me, and I'm not going to disclose the name or any details, but he just kind of made a comment. You know, sometimes the people around you, you know, will just kind of nurse on you a little bit and you know, maybe not always tell you the truth or tell you what you want to hear. And I got some friends in my life, too, that really hold me accountable. And I think that's an important part of life, too. You know, sometimes, especially again as men, we are reluctant to admit perceived weakness. It's true. And there's some other people out there too. I mean, they just feign security all the time. And you know, I know some folks, they're so incredibly worried that everybody else is going to find out that they're a fraud. It's true. And I guess at some points, maybe we've all felt that way, but I know some people that are crippled by that fear. And so they just kind of want the rest of us to kind of go along with the charade in hopes that nobody ever notices. And I think that's one of the saddest things in life, to be honest with you. I've heard before that the most expensive thing in life is a life of regret. I think maybe the second most expensive part of life is pretending to be someone you're not. Things are difficult. It is. And listen, there are a lot of people, you know, a lot of people that that's kind of what they've built their existence around. As we discussed the other day, you know, it's like I take everybody's social media with a grain of salt. You know, some of those people would never say things to your face, but that's not really what we're targeting here. There's a lot of people out there that want to paint a much rosier picture than truly exists. And I get that, too. Social media is not for oversharing, right? I mean, you don't need to put all your intimate details and all the struggles in your life on Facebook. Some people do, you know, and some of that is a plea for attention, but some of it is a cry for help. And so, again, if you are a person that is considering harming yourself or others, dial 988 on your phone. It's a free call. If calling is not available, feel free to text. Help is available for you. You don't have to live this way. I think it's important that we use our platform for good and our superpowers for good whenever we can. But there are a lot of people out there that are broken and carrying burdens that we're unaware of. And I can tell you as a guy that's worked in recovery now for, what is it, over 33 years now. I do the math every time, I'm getting old. But I have heard some stories over the years that that are heartbreaking. And I got some secrets of other people that'll go to my grave with me, because I believe in being loyal to people as best I can. And not everybody deserves it. But when somebody comes to you in confidence and they share something of significance, I think it's important to keep that dialogue going, that you don't go gossip. But let me tell you this. I'm from South Mississippi, where sometimes a request for prayer is an excuse to gossip. You know what I'm saying? I think that's very offensive, and so I try to stay out of that as best I can. And so, again, if you're a person that is experiencing something today, let me remind you that it won't always be this way. There may be some things that happen that are difficult to recover from, and you may never be the same person again. Yeah, there's some truth in that. There's some loss that we experience that change us as people. But you can find a way to healthily deal with that and kind of move forward. And so we encourage you to do that, whether it be through a recovery program or through therapy or church or whatever. It helps to know that you're not alone, and you're not. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We do. We love them. And we talk about loyalty. I'm the kind of guy that, man, if I want a hamburger, that's where I'm getting it from. Even if I go to a regular restaurant, I don't ever order a hamburger because of my relationship with Bulldog Burger Company. I love Bulldog Burger Company, and I've loved them from the beginning. You love them too, and if you don't, it's because you hadn't met them, because to know them is to love them. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harper Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. And as I've mentioned before, and I shared this with somebody recently too, we talked about on the show, this is the integrity in pricing. You know, when we all went through COVID, there were a lot of people that were jacking up their prices and tacking on a convenience fee or an overcharge fee or a fill-in-your-drink fee. And I get it. People had to do what they had to do to survive their struggles financially. But many of those costs have remained with certain establishments. Not the case of Bulldog Burger Company. They never set them up, so they didn't have to remove them later on. And I think that shows a lot of integrity. When our world and nation was in crisis, Bulldog Burger Company was the same reputable company that we've always known. Go by and have a great restaurant-quality hamburger of your choice. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. Get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's jump on this visit list here. We have confirmed 19 official visitors this weekend. It's a big weekend, and the dead period begins on Monday, and you don't get to host official visitors again until September 1st. The dead period is going to run basically through July, and it's honestly, I think a lot of this is there is some fatigue among recruits, but certainly among coaches, right? Because you think about this. You start preseason camp, and then it's nonstop until you get to the end of June. So the only time you can truly take some time with family is in the month of July. Now, you still got to stay on top of your recruiting. You know, it's like shaving. You don't do it every day. You look like a bum, right? But the reality of it is as soon as the regular season ends, right, whether you have bowl practices or not, you're already into portal recruiting mode. Whether it's player retention, whether it's player acquisition, you go through all of that. Then you get a little bit of a break after that December signing period, and then you're kind of right back to that finishing up your portal stuff. And then you get those guys on campus. You got to get everybody enrolled and work through all that stuff. Then you got spring practice. Spring practice ends. Spring portal season's here. Then you've got prospect camps, official visit weekends, and we have never asked more of college football coaches than we're asking now. Never in the history of the game. So the demands on these coaches are immense. But also, too, I think now you get through this weekend, you kind of get settled a little bit, and you have the dead period. And what, again, and I reiterate this because so many people get confused, you can still communicate with recruits during the dead period. You can. But you can't have any in-person recruiting activity on or off campus. So no in-person visits of any kind. You can text, that sort of stuff. You know, guys can call you whenever they want to. I think during a dead period, you're permitted one phone call. I think that's right. It changes every year, it seems. But again, your coaches around the country are about to get a much needed break. But those guys work 365 days a year, right? There's never really any days off. I see these, the hashtag on Twitter, no days off. And there's so many guys that you take a lot of days off. But, part of the deal. But here we are, 19 official visitors headed to Starkville today, and we'll have full coverage on Sunday. We had an official visitor earlier this week, too. We're trying to catch up with him. But let's run it down here. T.J. White, linebacker out of Jackson Academy, and I'm hopeful that he shows up. And let me tell you why we're concerned about that. He and Darion Albert, both of Jackson Academy, very, very close. Darion Albert was expected to visit this weekend. That visit's not going to take place. He is announcing his decision on July 1st. We expect it to be Tennessee. T.J. White also closely affiliated with Tennessee. And so while we still have him on the list, we'll do our best to kind of confirm that he did show up today. But, yeah, it's one of those situations that we're watching. I can't sit here and tell you that Mississippi State is in the driver's seat for him. That's what makes this weekend so important. It's been a very competitive process. I remember in the beginning, like, his ranking was so low. And I told some people within our network, I said, that this kid is one of the best linebackers in the Southeast, without question, if not the country. Well, now his offer sheet and his ranking is more commensurate with his ability. He's rated a 93 and a 4-star, rated as the number 3 player in the state of Mississippi. And we're having some trouble with kind of the top 10 players in Mississippi. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in this segment. But, yeah, hopeful that he's here. Things change. Evan Goodwin, offensive tackle. And I think that's Bogzite. I think that's right. Somebody will correct me. Out of Arkansas. Guy that you guys know well, of 247 Sports, 4-star. Has a Final Four of SMU, Oklahoma State, Missouri, and Mississippi State. Now, he is very much a country boy. Recently bragged on Twitter that he went and bought his first fishing boat. I don't know how that works with SMU. He had a great visit to SMU. They have a little bit of juice, but he is a small-town kid, grew up on a farm, kind of built for Mississippi State, and that's the thing you look at. Like he mentioned to me before, his mom went to an ag school. He likes the idea of going to an ag school because it kind of matches up with his personal values, so that's something that we'll watch. But State, in a good spot, but we need a good visit. We really do. Bryson Cooley, offensive lineman from West Jones High School, one of my favorite guys in the class. 15th in the state, I think that's probably a little bit low. I think Bryson Cooley is going to have a very good college career, provided he stays healthy and works hard. Officially visited OSU last week, and you know, some juice with him for sure. Just on the cusp of being a 4-star with 247 Sports. Zion Cotton is the guy that we first saw 2 years ago. Went to go see Fat Forrester now, was Fat Clark then, and T.J. Lockhart play Winona versus Grenada. And we're out there getting ready to get pictures, and the bride says, do we need to get a picture of him? I had no idea who Zion Cotton was at that point as a sophomore. No clue. So I look him up on the old Max Preps roster. And say, yeah, he's a sophomore. Let's get his picture. Lo and behold, here he is. A double-digit offer sheet, a young man that has been very, very closely aligned with Mississippi State throughout this process. I think there's a reasonable chance that he commits to Mississippi State this weekend. Brody McWhorter, the quarterback, I think this is the sixth or seventh consecutive weekend he's been here. I think that's right. I mean, it's just Brody is everywhere. I don't know that we could have a recruiting event without Brody McWhorter being in attendance. And what a great get for Jeff Lebby in that respect. He's number one, he's a very talented quarterback. But number two, he is demonstrating some leadership qualities that I think every signal caller should possess. He is coming back at his own expense every weekend to help build the class around him. I don't know that we've had many guys quite like that. It's one thing to have a kid from Meridian or from Madison, from Brandon, you know, that can just jump in the car and be here in a couple hours. This guy's coming from Cartersville, Georgia. And then, you know, staying overnight, going out with the guys, talking at Mississippi State. You got to love it, right? We talk about having winning quarterbacks, guys that are just kind of winners in life. And Brody McWhorter certainly exemplifies some of those attributes. Iverson McCoy, now former Mississippi State commitment, he projects as a safety. Decommitted, and yes, he was the player last year that was in the stands. It was like typing up a decommitment thing and didn't realize somebody was watching him. It made social media, and he was kind of the butt of the joke. Of course, at the end of the day, if you don't type that up, you don't have to deal with that, right? You got to have some personal accountability. And then, you know, after it goes viral, he goes, no, I'm fine. I'm sticking with Mississippi State. And some people try to suggest that it was a joke. Well, then he ultimately decommits. Recently, I spoke with him at camp, 10 days or so ago. And he shared with me then, you know, hey, everything's going to be okay. You know, so we'll see. Took an official visit to Ole Miss. He's very, very close with J.J. Hill, Mississippi State's running back commitment. And so that's an important aspect of this thing, too, the ties that bind. And I think that's an important aspect. Those guys committed together. You know, they've taken a lot of visits here together. They'll take one this weekend together. Now, Jaden Creation is a guy that we saw in camp last year, really liked him. And the thing that I try to observe at camp is not just watching the one-on-ones and seeing who elevates and things like that. I watch who the coaches are spending extra time to coach. Now, they coach them all, but sometimes there are guys that get extra reps and get a little more instructions. Chad Bumpus spent a lot of time talking to Jaden Creation from Canton High School. A lot of time. At the time, he was a relative unknown. It's a guy that came to camp as a junior, created a little buzz for himself, and now he's a guy that's got some college options. Rated an 87, he's a composite 88. But he's got 10 offers now, including West Virginia, LSU, Ole Miss. He's got a lot of options. And I do think that he will be a Bulldog when it's all said and done. I think he wants to stay closer to home. You know, we'll see how things go. Zion Crumpton, this is another young man that recently committed to South Florida and has taken some other official visits. North Carolina brought him in, offered him during the visit. He's a young man out of Montgomery Carver High School. And yes, that is the same high school that produced Chris Relf. We've had some success there. Some other times we haven't. You know, I remember Jeremy Johnson decided to go to Auburn, but a kid from Montgomery going to Auburn is not a big surprise. But Crumpton's an interesting player, 6'1", 165, of course, needs to bulk up and gain some weight. But he's another one of those guys, too. Yes, he's confirmed, but I'll feel better knowing he's here, right? Anytime that a guy makes a commitment and then has a visit the next weekend, you just kind of wonder. And we've seen some of that. Some guys have committed and come on in. Some other guys have committed and just canceled their visit. So we'll see what happens. But very explosive guy. Jacoby Green, now a longtime commitment to Mississippi State out of Havana, Florida, out of Gadsden County, not too far from Tallahassee. There were some people early on that thought Florida might be able to flip him. So far, they haven't been able to. He is an interior offensive line prospect. We kind of profiled him as a guard. He'll be back in town taking his official visit and doing all the right things on social. You know, like you'd like to see the guys retweeting stuff about other recruits and commitments and, you know, he and Brody McWhorter have struck up a friendship. That's very important. Jaden Taylor, JT Taylor, that's Kamario's younger brother out of Noxubee County. Really no introduction needed there. Jaden might play some quarterback this year for them. Maybe. You know, we'll see. But he is a guy that can play wide receiver and can play safety. I think he profiles as a defensive back. One of those guys, too, that will probably have a huge senior year. Because I think he is a guy that elevates. Like, Kamario was there last year, right? And has been throughout his high school career. So Kamario was the superstar. Somebody else has to kind of step up and fill that void from a leadership standpoint. I think you're going to see JT do that. It's certainly within him. Really like him a lot. Leon Knoll Jr. out of Edna Carr down in New Orleans. And it's interesting, LSU hasn't done much with him. You know, it's kind of been Baylor, Houston, a couple other schools. But, you know, it'll be interesting, Central Florida. He's coming in this weekend, but he is a guy that's listed at 6'4 and a half. I don't think he's quite as big as listed. Needs to fill out the frame, developmental guy, weighs about 250. You know, you want those guys to be 290 plus. But, yeah, he's a developmental piece, but a very athletic guy. Good wingspan, too, for a guy at 6'4". So he's a guy that we'll watch. But the spots on the offensive line are getting really tight. First, I was told we're going to take six high school offensive linemen. Now I'm told it's going to be seven. We already got four committed. There's another that we know is on the way. And so you kind of got to figure this thing out, you know. So that'll be interesting. Where does Leon fit in this? I've been told Houston's another team that's involved with him. I've been told that he is a guy that just kind of wants to get out and enjoy the process. Not even sure when he's going to announce, but would be a good get for sure. We mentioned Jaden Hill earlier. Took an official visit to Arkansas. Everybody said, don't worry about that. Things appear to be fine with him. He'll be back in town this weekend. He's had a lot of schools that have chased him and tried to get him to visit. And the Arkansas thing, I guess, kind of makes some sense because they're a run-first team. But I think Jaden just kind of wanted to get out and enjoy the process a little bit. But he'll be back in town this weekend. Excited about him. Tomario Johnson, safety out of Pascagoula. It's interesting. You know, he's a guy that's really only played 1 year of high school football. Great athlete, put some good things on film, but he really doesn't even know what he's doing yet. And I'm kind of curious to see how many safeties do we take. If you take McCoy back into the fold, what does that mean for Tomario Johnson? Do you take them both and it's kind of figured out later? Not sure. Do you take your time on Tomario? Like if Iverson wants to commit, do you take him and then you just kind of wait and see how the season goes? And if you have a spot later, you take Tomario then? I'm not sure. But Tomario is not a guy that just has to sit around and wait on Mississippi State either. He's got some options to choose from. Mississippi State commitment, Adam Land, of course, committed recently, earlier this month. And tight end. And really no surprise in that respect. And I think there's a good chance you get him and Luke Hutchinson. Hutch is headed to A&M this weekend, so I'm curious to kind of see what his feeling is behind that. But Adam Land, a guy that has been a priority target for some time. Of course, he's from the same high school that gave us Lojack, Laquavian Jackson. And that was a guy that we committed early on last year, and people were like, well, he didn't have a big offer sheet. And then we had to hold off Florida State to get him late. He blew up as a senior. Adam Land is a guy that has been a tight end his entire career, so he's not like a jumbo X that's going to have to learn to play as an attached or a flex tight end. This guy's already done it. A relative newcomer to the list is Davin Young from Theodore High School. He is a 6'3", 275-pound defensive tackle. Will definitely be an inside guy. Has the frame to probably be a 300-pounder without hurting his mobility or dexterity. A guy that doesn't have a huge offer sheet, though. You know, he's got about 10 offers, but obviously Mississippi State is the largest. And defensive line recruiting has been something that has been kind of a moving target for us the last couple of years. Did well in the portal, but high school defensive line recruiting has maybe not gone the way we feel like it should. And we hadn't had a lot of great defensive linemen in the state, but the reality of it is you know, you've had Fletcher Cox and Chris Jones. You know, you've had some guys that you can reference and say, hey, look, these guys came here, played for Coach David Turner, and went on to make NFL millions. Perhaps you could do the same, right? But for some reason, that message has not resonated with high school defensive linemen so far. So, you know, we'll see how things progress. But Davin Young is probably a guy, like, I think Dan Mullen would have taken him. Because it kind of reminds me a little bit of Cam Young, a little bit, you know. And what I mean by that is, the guy that kind of fits the metrics, and maybe he's just kind of raw on his development because Dan Mullen was so good at that, right? Go get the guy that's got a lot of raw athleticism and meets the metrics that you're looking for, and then you coach him up. I think Davin Young fits that. I won't be surprised if he's committed by the end of the weekend. Kicker Hayden Chambers will be here from Fort Payne, Alabama. They've kind of become a kicking factory as of late. Seems like everybody that wins the starting job at Fort Payne High School ends up going to play major college football. State was on the Higgins kid out of Baton Rouge. Of course, he commits to LSU this week. So you got to take a kicker. I mean, you feel good about where you are with Kyle Ferry, but, you know, Ferry's only going to be here a short time, right? I mean, he's already got a couple years under his belt. What is it? Is it three now? It's hard to believe. You know, Kyle Ferry's been here a little while, so you're looking for the heir apparent to Kyle Ferry. Could be Hayden Chambers. And Kyle Ferry's been a very good kicker for Mississippi State. Caleb Triplett, a linebacker out of D'Iberville. I'm eager to see what we do with him. He is a guy, like, you look at his tape, he's kind of alligator fast. Now, what I mean by that is he's straight line fast. Doesn't have a lot of lateral movement. You know, I don't know that he's really that quick twitch. He's kind of that old school Mike linebacker. You know, when everybody ran I formation and ran between the tackles and you needed a plugger, he kind of fits that demographic. So I'm just kind of eager to see, you know, in today's era of like the spread offense and everybody working horizontally a lot more to kind of get the edge and get the corner, is he a tackle backer? I think he is. rather than a sideline to sideline guy. And that's something you got to watch. But we'll see how things go. Two new additions, Terrell Johnson Jr., cornerback out of Holmes County Central. And Holmes County's been good to us. We've had some guys come in here and play well, and some other guys maybe not so much. But they are a winning program that has consistently put players into the college ranks. He is a young man, too, that has kind of proved positive that camps matter. Senior prospect with already got a handful of G5 offers comes to Mississippi State's prospect camp and was arguably, according to my guys that covered the camp, the best corner in attendance. So he comes, shows out at camps, the next thing you know, he's invited in. Doesn't have an offer from state yet. That could potentially happen this weekend. You got to think, too, our coaches are just kind of getting to know him, you know. We'll see. Micah Nickerson, and listen, I don't care what his offer sheet looks like. It doesn't matter to me. You go watch this kid's film, and you can imagine what he's going to look like after 2 years in a college weight room. He's 6'5", 210-ish, 215 now. And this is a guy that recently took official visits to Louisiana Lafayette and Tulane out of South Pike High School down there just around Macomb, right? You guys are well aware of where you can go get a Ward's hamburger. But this is a guy. We talk about Davin Young. I think Davin Young is a bit of a project. I don't really feel that way about Micah Nickerson. I think he has some explosive get-off, and he plays just about every play in high school. Plays receiver, tight end. Plays defensive end and edge, mainly an edge. Plays some outside backer. I like this young man's potential. And I think, you know, we've won a lot of games with guys like him. Micah Nickerson. You know, the small town, maybe under-recruited guy that doesn't get out and go to camps. You know, he's not part of any 7-on-7, doesn't have an agent. You know, we've won some games with guys like him. I would like to take him, and I think Mississippi State will. Now, edge has been a real moving target for State. You go back 2 years ago, right, in the portal, we needed to get an edge. Jeff Lebby said it in the signing day press conference. We need to get an edge. We didn't, right? And so my thinking is maybe this is like, hey, we went and got some edges this year in the portal, so let's go get – you know, some guys lined up to get in a developmental pipeline. We got to get off this heavy portal type thing. We do, because it's just not sustainable. 30 guys had the portal last year. 33. So we had 61 new players. It's a different deal, man. But at some point, in order to get off of that, you've got to get some guys in and start getting them developed, and I think the best way to do that is with in-state talent. I mentioned we had an earlier visitor. We did. It's Cassie Barnes out of Grimsey High School in Greensboro, North Carolina. We get him in. He is a guy that's got a ton of options right now. We'll do our best to catch up with him and see if we can't get you guys an update. But Kentucky, Miami, South Carolina, Rutgers, he is one of these guys that is a Power 5 guy. And getting a lot of interest from our contemporaries. So he's kind of in the talent pool in which we swim. So we'll see how things go. But cornerback recruiting, too, is one of those things we've got to get better at. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So that's your midweek visitor, and then your 19 that are expected in. And, again, we'll do our best as a couple guys that we'll be kind of monitoring today to ensure they actually make the trip. But, again, last big weekend. And what's interesting, too, you know, I read the same things that you guys write, right, on message boards and social media for the most part. And people are concerned. I get some of that concern, too. Guys, I've got concerns, too. But I think this weekend could be a very big one for State. And I don't just necessarily mean from a ranking standpoint, right? You think about how good Evan Goodwin is. You get him. That's very significant. Bryson Cooley, same situation. Zion Cotton, I love the kid. And I think he is a fabulous player. Rated an 89, would be one of the higher rated players in our class. I don't really care about the rating as I care about the matchup. I think he is a guy that could be an interesting toy for Jeff Lebby to use because of his skill set. again, you wonder, is he a flex tight end? Is he a jumbo X? I don't know that he's got the foot speed to play X receiver in the Southeastern Conference. But I think you could have some packages where you set up a matchup that is advantageous to the offense because of the versatility of Zion Cotton. I really like him a lot. And I've liked Iverson McCoy. I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about him, and I watched him play last year against White Station. I loved him. I did. And late in the game, when they needed a play to put the game away, it's McCoy that comes away with the interception. Jaden Krashen, not highly recruited, not highly ranked, but pretty highly recruited. So maybe that says a little more about our ranking at 247 than it does the kid. But, yeah, you got some dudes here. And again, I think this is easily the most talented crop of visitors that we have had this recruiting cycle on campus. And so I think it's going to be a busy day for us on Sunday announcing commitments. I think you guys should be excited about that aspect of it. But 14 commitments right now. I figure we'll probably settle somewhere around 20 before we get into the season. And then we'll kind of see how things go. But we got to go win some ball games. And that's at the end of the day, like everybody just tries to figure this thing out. Steve, are we not allocating enough resources? Are we not working hard enough? Guys, we went 2-10 last year. Went 2-10 last year. And then the forecast from some of the pundits out there suggests that State's going to win 3 or 4 games this year. So we don't have a lot of the social media traffic because of the fact that we didn't win last year and we're not expected to win this year. And so the only answer is you got to go prove everybody wrong. You got to go win some games this year. And listen, I hate these years. I hate them when I just want to get in a bowl game. I just want to get to a bowl game. I just want to get to a bowl game. Now, that's how I feel right now. I just want to make it and get bowl eligible, number one, to show that we are changing the trajectory of the program. It's incredible how things change so quickly, right? It's incredible. It really is. How we go from 13 consecutive years with a ball game, and we finish the 22 season ranked in the top 20 with a win in the Outback Bowl, and we think, and the Golden Egg Trophy, we're like, hey, we're riding high. Things are going great. And then things changed, right? It did. And now back-to-back losing seasons, and people are forecasting a third. And so there's a lot of people out there telling these kids, hey, Mississippi State is great. You may like the coaching staff there, but that program's not trending in the right direction. I don't believe that, but that's the message, right? And so I think that's an important aspect. There's really, the most important aspect of this is winning. You got to go win. So if we go put together a winning season this year, or get to a bowl game, there are some doors that are closed to us today that would be open for us in, say, November, December. So we're doing what we need to do now. And Jeff Lebig and his staff have proven if a guy doesn't continue to develop, if they take a chance on a guy in June and take a commitment and he didn't develop his senior year, they've proven if we need to move on from a kid to make room for another one, we will. And so I got no problems with that aspect of it. And so just because things look a certain way today doesn't mean they're going to look that way come signing day. It's time for our player of the day, is sponsored by closewithblair.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Blair gets things done. Visit the website closewithblair.com. 601-500-2344 is the number to know. 601-500-2344. That goes directly to Blair. Not a call center, not a receptionist. Goes directly to Blair. It's his personal cell phone number. Yeah. It's a business phone because he's all about business. He stands on business, as the kids say these days. So get that pre-qualification letter. That's a life hack they didn't tell you about. I'm telling you now. That way your real estate agent knows exactly what you're approved for, so you're not shopping above your means. You know how that is, too. You go out there and you think, it'd be great to have this house, but can we afford it? Rather than go skew things where you feel like you had to settle for, have a good idea of what's in your price range. So what are you looking for, your first home, your next home, or your retirement home? Blair Chandler, the name to know, 24 years of experience. Get his knowledge and expertise working directly for you. Our player of the day is Brody McWhorter. And as I mentioned earlier, I don't know that I've seen a guy be this involved in the recruiting efforts at Mississippi State. I tell you, it kind of reminds me a little bit. We're going to go back, God rest his soul, D.J. Looney. And we called D.J. the mayor, you know, before Jake Mangum came along. You know, that he was the mayor of the class. He was the guy reaching out to people saying, hey, let's all be at the home game this weekend. So-and-so's being here. Here's so-and-so's number. Let's text him. Brody is kind of taking on that role with this class. And, again, it's really like something I've never seen. We hear it a lot when guys commit, oh, I'm going to be recruiting this guy and that guy. You know, Kayvon was here last week. Brody came over, made that his personal project. He hadn't committed yet. He's going to announce on July 11th. Maybe we get him. Maybe we don't. But I like the hustle of this young man, and I think it speaks well of him as the future leader of our program. He's got to come in, pay his dues, I'm sure, redshirt years in his future, as well it should be. Let him get bigger, faster, stronger. Let Kamario and Luke Cromanhog get a little separation between themselves and him. But, I've rarely seen this. And I think it's important to praise that because of the fact that when you've got a guy like him leading the charge, I think that helps matters. And we need all the help we can get right now in football recruiting. And to have the future face of your program out there working to ensure that the players around him are of quality, I think is significant. All right, time for today's top 10 list, brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O guitars.com, a Mississippi State-owned and operated company. The grandsons work there, yeah. They have family here in Starkville. They get back every now and again. I like to keep business in the family when we can. I think we should support each other. And if you're a guitar player or you have a guitar player in your life, I'm going to encourage you to use Kalido Guitars. You can go by and see the showroom in Lake Jackson, Texas. You can call. You can use the online shopping opportunities at KalidoGuitars.com. We'll give you promo code BSR, as always. That gets you a 10% discount off your purchase. That in and of itself is nice enough. But they didn't stop there. You're going to get free shipping. If you don't live in the state of Texas, you're going to get no sales tax. In addition to that, they're going to make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. I wish more Mississippi State companies did this. So let's reward Kalido Guitars. Whether you're looking for an acoustic guitar, electric, classical guitar, you're looking for a new case, gig bags, accessories, you can find it all at Kalido Guitars. I've got a guitar stand from them that I'm very happy with. And you don't just need your guitar leaning up against a wall somewhere. It's bad for the neck. When you got a bad neck, you got a bad guitar. It's true. So don't neglect your instruments. Outfit everything the way you should at Kalido Guitars. All right, so Melanie hit me up. Melanie is one of our longtime listeners to this show. We're talking Melanie Moody. She has also sent a lot of suggestions over the years for top 10. She's probably in the top three as far as selectors go to offer recommendations. And she shared, you know, that Rick Derringer died. And a lot of you say, well, Steve, who is Rick Derringer? Well, you know, Rick is a guy that's worked with a lot of people, the Edgar Winter Group, Johnny Winter, Cyndi Lauper, Barbara Streisand, Steely Dan, Weird Al Yankovic. A lot of cool stuff. He also had his own band called Derringer for a while. That's super cool. And so we're going to run through this today, your top 10 list of Rick Derringer songs. And the number 10 track is one that I believe should have had major airplay. It did get some, but it's a song that I wish somebody would cover because of the fact the writing in this song is beautiful. It's kind of got that big 80s chorus, and some people maybe aren't as big on that these days, and that's a shame. But it's Don't Ever Say Goodbye. And kind of appropriate, considering that we've lost Rick. Number 9, Steely Dan. Now, Steely Dan, for those of you that were around in the 70s, they were kind of the musicians' musicians, right? They were the band's band. Everybody liked them because they were so technically proficient. Well, Rick Derringer did some work with them, collaborated on some projects, and did a song called My Rival from Steely Dan. A little bit of a deeper cut, but I think you'll have some fun with that. Number eight, Edgar Winter. And he was on, I'm trying to remember, a couple albums with them. Edgar Winter's White Trash, I guess, is one of them. But Keep Playing That Rock and Roll. That's one of those songs, too, that a lot of people know. Like, if you don't know the Winter Brothers, you should. They're basically electrified blues, amplified blues, as is Rick Derringer in many respects. But that's a song, too, that is kind of endemic in some respects. Number seven, Derringer worked on a couple of albums with Cyndi Lauper and a couple of tours, and he said that she was actually better than Barbara Streisand as a live performer, which is interesting. And Cyndi Lauper, of course, kind of had some shtick because of her image, especially on the She's So Unusual album. And she came back with True Colors, and people began to really recognize her true talent. That it wasn't just about image. There was some substance to Cyndi Lauper. There was a couple tracks on the True Colors album that Derringer played in the studio with. One of them is Calm Inside the Storm. And again, it's kind of an 80s synth pop radio type song, but one worth knowing. Now, the next six songs are going to be songs that you know. You may have known the first four, but you're going to know these six. Air Supply, who I don't think we've ever done a list for. Maybe we have. But Derringer played the guitar on the Air Supply classic, Making Love Out of Nothing at All. A song you know well, if you're in my generation. A beautiful song in many respects. Number five, he actually earned a Grammy for his work with Weird Al Yankovic. Yeah, Rick Derringer earned a Grammy. He was a contributor on the Eat It and Bad, or Fat, yeah, Fat. Yeah, I guess it was the N3D was the name of the album that had Eat It, and then Fat. So a couple of parodies of Michael Jackson songs, and Derringer was the guitar player. So Weird Al Yankovic's Eat It is number five. It's so interesting. You look back, and nowadays, Weird Al couldn't be Weird Al today, right? I mean, he never took himself too seriously. You know, he was in the great movie UHF, which was great. Kramer was in that movie too, because you remember when they drank from the fire hose? That was what Kramer said. You get to drink from the fire hose, and they put that kid up there and open that fire hose up and knocks him off the stool. But Weird Al, I don't think in this time and culture you could do a song about obesity in a humorous way. Now, it's one thing when people who are overweight make themselves the punchline of their own joke, but people are very, very sensitive today about this sort of stuff. So Eat It would probably not be a hit today. Number four, and this is a song that dates back to the 60s. Rick Derringer was with an outfit called the McCoys that had some hits, and probably the biggest one was Hang On Sloopy. And I like it for a lot of reasons, but the guitar tone being one of them, but I kind of like those oddly matched harmonies in the chorus. It's a little different. It really is. Number three, and this was a song that was actually originally presented to Meatloaf, and the record company decided it didn't fit Meatloaf. And it's a classic song. Jim Steinman wrote it, who wrote most of Meatloaf's material. And instead, it became the biggest hit of Bonnie Tyler's career, Total Eclipse of the Heart. Of course, she had another few hits here and there. You know, I Need a Hero. You know, we all know that from Footloose. But Total Eclipse of the Heart, the guitar part, Rick Derringer. Number two, and some of you are big wrestling fans, and you know this song, you know it well, but maybe you didn't know who performed it. It's Hulk Hogan's theme song, Real American. Yeah, Real American. I am a real American. And of course, some politicians have used that over the last several years. That's a Rick Derringer track, man. Yeah. Because of the connection to Cyndi Lauper and Lou Albano, Rick kind of got involved with the wrestling stuff and actually produced an album about, you know, kind of wrestling theme songs. Interesting. But number one, and I think it is the signature song from Rick Derringer, he actually recorded this on three different albums in the studio. There's also some live performances. He recorded this one time with Edgar Winter, one time with Johnny Winter, and then one time on his own. It's Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo. And you probably heard this, but man, I've always loved the guitar on this. There's some palm muting in it. There's a lot of things that go with it. And I love the chorus. I love the backing vocals on the chorus. I think all of that is very, very significant. So Rick Derringer, a sad loss in American music. But again, a guy that you know his work, but maybe you didn't realize you knew his work. And I think many of you are going to be like, really? All American? Real American? Yes, I am a real American. Rick Derringer. And again, Rick performed with a lot of people, did a lot of studio work. Kind of like a poor man Steve Lukather from Toto, if you know what I mean. Lukather's been on thousands of songs. Derringer, the catalog's not quite as expansive, but he was a guy, kind of a musician's musician. When people needed some help, Rick Derringer was one of the names they called. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. You can hit me up on all forms of social media, at Scout Steve R. Roy Samanthi, my friend, the keeper of the list, on X at Dogmatic67. DAWGMATIC67. You can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. Next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, and why? Because they have the things we want. That's more Mississippi State merch. Every Bulldog wants more Mississippi State merch, whether it be collectible items or more apparel. College football season's coming up. You need to upgrade your wardrobe a little bit. You don't need to keep dragging out those old sun-stained T-shirts. I'm being your friend here. Find some quarter zips for the later part of the year, but also find some polos, maybe some T-shirts. I'm a T-shirt guy. I like it too. So let's be sure and get everything going, right? You can do that at Campus Bookmart. Go by and see their smiling faces. I get a complimentary hug when I go. Maybe that's just me, but maybe it's you too. I don't know. But you're going to get incredible service there from other Bulldogs that know everything that you experience during your Mississippi State fandom. You can visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Okay, we were going to save this segment for the last segment of the show. We're going to move some things around because Luke Hutchinson has just announced his commitment to Mississippi State. He was set to visit Texas A&M. That has changed. And so now he's headed here. And we'll do our best to catch up with him today. That gives Mississippi State now 15 commitments for this class. Let's take a little longer look at Luke here. I actually had the chance to see him last year in camp. He reclassed for this year, which proved to be a great thing for him. He ended up getting 15 offers or so. Let's just kind of run it down here. He took official visits to Virginia as well, but also had offers from Appalachian State, Arkansas State, Bryant, Georgia Southern, Kentucky, Liberty, Louisville, Nebraska, Pittsburgh, Tennessee State, Toledo, UAB, and South Florida. So a guy that had some options, but also a guy that's got an NFL pedigree. His dad played NFL football with Coach John Cooper. And so that leads me to kind of what's next, right? We felt like Luke Hutchinson was in a good spot, wasn't sure when he would announce. Now, could be a busy stretch here for the Bulldogs, right? Jax Pope of Buford High School in Georgia is announcing his decision tomorrow. We feel very positive about where Mississippi State sits with him. There was talk about a visit this weekend. That's been canceled, which is always a good sign. Fresh off the visit, they canceled their other visits. But, you know, Jax is a guy, too, that's, you know, his brother played Georgia and Alabama. And again, he will announce tomorrow. Let me see if I can give you the time here. The finalists are Duke, Arkansas, Boston College, Stanford, and, of course, Mississippi State. That's always great to see. But, yeah, he's going to announce on Saturday. As of now, we do expect him to be a Bulldog. Dalton Toothman, offensive lineman from Van Cleve, Mississippi, is going to announce on Monday. We feel very good about where things stand with him. He took an official visit to state last week. It has been a state-Auburn battle for a while. I know Ole Miss some kind of suggested early on that that he was going to be a candidate to be in that Ole Miss class. And it really has felt like, honestly, from talking to people that know him and talking to him directly, that Ole Miss was running a distant third behind behind Mississippi State and Auburn. So Hutch today, possibly Pope tomorrow, possibly Toothman on Monday, and then, of course, this weekend, a lot of guys on campus may have the possibility of committing too. And so let's kind of run down who we think of this weekend's visitors may commit. And there's a lot of things that are kind of up in the air. Like, I don't know when Evan Goodwin is going to announce. I know Mississippi State is in the Final Four there. So this is a big weekend, as discussed earlier. This is a big weekend. We could get him. I felt a whole lot better about this a few weeks back. But, of course, as you get closer to it, you never know. But Evan always says he enjoys coming to Mississippi State. He's been very open about his interest in the Bulldogs. Bryson Cooley, I'm not sure when he's going to pull the trigger, but that's a possibility as well. Zion Cotton is a guy. I think that is simply a matter of time. I don't know if it's Sunday, if it's Monday, or if he has a special date in mind. And matter of fact, while we're here, I'm going to go ahead and put in my crystal ball pick for Mississippi State for Zion Cotton. We'll go ahead and do that right now. We'll put a confidence level of 9 on that. And so now Mississippi State has the crystal ball projection there. Matter of fact, let's just go on a run here. Why don't we do that together? Let's just go ahead and do that together. We'll go ahead and just knock a bunch of these out. Maybe not a bunch. We'll knock a few of these out. So we'll put our prediction in for Mississippi State for Zay Cotton. We will do our prediction for Dalton Toothman. That's done. And I believe we've already done Jax Pope, but let me go double check that. We'll take a look real quick. So, yes, that's already been done. And I tell you what, let's go ahead and do another one. Let's just do another one just for the fun of it. We'll do Jaden Creation as well. We'll put him in as a crystal ball pick in favor of Mississippi State. So you have now experienced that live today on the air. I guess not technically live because many of you are listening to this show after we do it. So we'll go ahead and put those in. So 4 crystal ball picks now entered on behalf of Mississippi State by your good friend and host. And my percentage on these the last year have been really good. So we'll see how things go. And let's just say we're not guessing. Okay, well, let's just say that aspect, that we're not guessing. And then we'll kind of move forward with this. And you know what, while we're at that, let's just go ahead and put in one for Micah Nickerson as well. I think that's probably going to happen as well. So that's 5 Mississippi State. And that'll get some people talking, right? That will get some people talking. So 5 crystal ball picks. May do some more tomorrow. And these are my predictions, and they're not guesses. This is what I expect to happen based on knowledge of the situation. So all part of the deal. Yeah, so we expect a busy stretch here. And this is a fan base, too, again, that has expressed some concern, you know, about the recruiting efforts. And I think the next several days will probably assuage some of those concerns, maybe not all of them. You know, and part of that, too, and again, I've got concerns about this, too. I mean, I'm not oblivious to what's going on. I've been around this a long time. And not everybody's underrated, right? There's some guys out there you begin to ask yourself, you know, hey, what am I missing here? Right? There's always that part of it. And there's some guys, too, you look at and say, you know what? Hey, these guys truly are underrated. But there's some other guys that, you know, just like, hey, we're not that much smarter than everybody else. But sometimes you just go take a guy that you like that maybe fits your scheme. But my concern with some of this is that, you know, we're just not getting in a year that there is a very good year in state. I don't know that we're getting enough traction with the alpha dogs in the state. Not saying we hadn't got some good players, but man, you know, in order for us to make some things happen. We got to get great players. Now, along those lines, you know, you've got Jaden Hill, who was definitely undervalued. I think everybody would agree with that. He won a state championship, 7A player of the year, outstanding. But let me run these things by you here. Okay, the number one player in the state, Tristan Keys. We knew it was a long shot from the beginning. Not going to visit here, committed to LSU, recently visited Tennessee. There's some talk about Alabama, but we're not in the game. Number two, the top safety in the state, Braylon Womack. We thought early on of the top players we had the best chance with, we thought it'd be him. He's not even visiting. T.J. White, again, number three player in the state, set to visit today, and we hope that that happens. But, guys, of the top 10 players in the state, he's the only one that's expected to visit. That's a concern. No matter how you slice it, no matter what you think about Jeff Labby, what you think about Zach Solomon, the direction of Mississippi State football, that's a concern. Nolan Wilson, defensive lineman from Picayune, has never really given state a look. Xavier McDonald, originally scheduled a visit for this weekend, not coming. Demarius Yates was committed to state. You know, we had Yates and J.J. Hill both committed at the same time. Yates now headed to Ole Miss. Corey Wells out of Pedal, who I think is actually the top defensive lineman in the state. I like him a little bit better than Nolan Wilson. I don't think Nolan can play. I'm not in any way downgrading Nolan. I think Corey Wells is a little bit undervalued, even though he's a four-star. He's headed to Texas. Darion Albert, we talked about him. I would not have him as a four-star. I wouldn't. He's a little bit over 6 foot. Wingspan's not great. He is a load inside, don't get me wrong. I would have him as a high three, maybe an 88 or so. I expect him to announce for Tennessee on his announcement date on the 1st. Jace Matthews, a wide receiver from Greene County High School that we were very excited about in the beginning and thought we had a really good chance to get. Not visiting. Tylen Wilson, we got his teammate coming in from Pascagoula. He's not coming in either. You know, so Tylen, a guy that very early on that spent a lot of time on campus in the early stages of his recruitment, not going to visit. Emmanuel Tucker, the number 11 player in the state, at one time was committed to Mississippi State of his own volition, right? He's a guy that decided, I want to commit to Mississippi State. Decommits, a lot of Ole Miss people thought they were going to get him. He didn't. He's going to LSU. Preston Ashley, another guy from Brandon High School that we felt really good about, four-star safety, not visiting. Jerelyn McCoy, the number 13 player in the state. I'm not as high on him as some other people are. He's been committed, I think, to three different programs. Recently committed to Florida, but we knew pretty early on, really wasn't in the game with him. And so, of the top 13 players in the state of Mississippi, only one of those guys is expected to visit Mississippi State. That's not great. Not great. Now, you get outside of those guys. You get Zay Cotton, 14. Feel good about him. I think he's eventually going to, you know, to announce for Mississippi State, you know. But it, you know, it's also interesting to me because as a guy that's covered this for so many years, I don't know that I've seen a year that we have had such little traction with the top-rated players in our state. And again, it's like, you know, rankings are rankings. But that many of those guys, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the issue that I have with some of this, you know. And I think that's one of those things that we've got to be mindful of. When we have years like this in the state of Mississippi, we have got to get our cut. Number 15 player in the state's Bryson Cooley. He's scheduled to visit this weekend. Number 16 is Jaden Taylor. And long-time commitment. Omari Johnson, a guy, again, much like Tylen Wilson and those guys, felt really good about them. Was set to visit this weekend. He's not visiting. Committed to North Carolina early in the process and decommitted. Not sure what's going to happen with him. Gavin Howard was the guy that wanted to commit early on. We even had a story ready. And he kind of waited around, and now all of a sudden his teammate is getting it. Donnell Robinson is a guy that was supposed to visit, didn't visit. Offensive lineman from Holmes County. Not exactly sure what's going to happen with him. He was very, very highly recruited early on. And then there's Iverson McCoy at 20. So you can run this down too. You can do the math. But it's just interesting to me that of the top 20 players in the state of Mississippi, only five of them have visited or are expected to visit Mississippi State. That is a sobering reality in a year where it is a very good crop of in-state groups. And I'm just kind of calling it for what it is. I'm not blaming anybody. Again, I think a lot of this has got to do with going 2-10 and the forecast. But that's kind of what our staff's up against. And you're going to have, you know, a large number of in-state kids commit this year. I mean, a ton. But the reality of this thing is that, you know, we got to get our bite. We do. We got to get our bite in all of this. And, you know, you run back and look at some of these guys. We got guys in the 40s in the rankings that, like Colin Flanagan from Oxford High School going to Vanderbilt, you know. Caden Cutchins from Hartford Academy headed to Liberty. You know, Mitchell Smith at number 37, not sure where he's going to end up. But, you know, that's a guy that's got some ability. You know, Braylon Williams at 33 is committed to Ole Miss. Zach Jenkins from Laurel, love his game. I do. Headed to Memphis. You know, Hayden Ainsworth, number 28, got it reclassed this year, headed to Nebraska. So it's a very talented group. Redaring and Daniels from Lake Cormorant headed to Purdue. You know, I run this down just because of the fact I think it's important to, number one, we get so caught up in the big maroon bubble sometimes. And we think, oh, let's just focus on who we have. There's another tier of recruit within our own state that we've got to do a better job of getting to campus. And a lot of that revolves around winning. It's not a matter of effort. I can tell you, we've invited these kids to campus. We've had a bunch of them come for junior day events. But as things have gotten a little more serious, we're just not really in the game. And to me, the only way to fix that is to go win ball games. And so that's kind of where we are. It's not to say that we won't get some good players, but we've got some elite players within our state right now that are not even giving us a sniff. And that's got to change. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle without any question when you're bringing a large group to town. And you know what? You should. You take a lot of trips. You know, it's kind of the same old thing. They're fun, but wouldn't it be great to have a large group together, whether it be your college roommates, your sisters, all the siblings, mom, dad, a couple's weekend. I don't know, you know, what your social calendar looks like, but you owe it to yourself to plan a trip to the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We did it for New Year's, had a blast. It was so nice to have everybody under one roof. You know, our family's grown, our house hadn't. You know, we got a big house out in the country. Got some rooms around here we don't even use anymore because the kids that used to live in them have their own places now. And so their families have grown. They have significant others. They have children. So it's hard to get everybody here. So we just rented out the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Plenty of room to spread out. 6 bedrooms, 2 soon to be 3 baths. The full service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area. The fire pit area, which is fabulous. I think fires in the summer are okay too, you know, part of the deal. But I just enjoyed having my family together. I know my wife did as well. But one of the things that I love is how much my children love each other and have a chance to see them interact. It does my heart good. It really does. And to see my grandgirls and now my grandson, to see their aunts and uncle kind of dote over them a little bit. You owe it to yourself to make those kinds of memories. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Their Facebook page will auto-populate. And then you'll have the opportunity, of course, to see some booking options as well. And you can go Airbnb and VRBO. It's up to you. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. BSR, the number 10, BSR10 to get 10% off your stay. A nice discount to stay at the premium place in the Golden Triangle. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. What could be better? You could do your tailgating right then and there. Makes it so much easier, too. You know, just go ahead and book the trip. And maybe you got some vacation time. Take some midweek days, too. It's open 365 days a year. You owe it to yourself to make some memories with your family or friends at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, if you've been keeping up with the College World Series, the final will begin this weekend. And I'm excited about it. I love the College World Series. I love college baseball. If you listen to the show, you know that. I do. I love it very, very much. And I wish we could go ahead and suit up and play right now. I really do. Some work to do. We've had some official visitors this week with catchers and some pitchers, among others. But I just kind of wanted to go through this whole last couple days here. So tomorrow night, Saturday night, will be game one between LSU and Coastal Carolina. Beginning of this thing, did you have Coastal making it? You might have thought LSU would have made it. And I'll be honest with you, I thought they were probably kind of a flimsier top eight, but they proved us wrong, you know. They're there. You know, that's part of the deal. And LSU and Jay Johnson do a great job. Coastal Carolina, you probably didn't expect them. I didn't. I thought they would lose the Super in Auburn, but they didn't. And they've swept through this thing. But I wanted to go back and talk a little bit about this LSU-Arkansas game. Your Coastal got on Louisville pretty good, 11-3, you know. And, hey, you know, great run for the Cards of Louisville. They were, you know, one of these teams that came in, didn't have a number next to their name, made a nice run. It's good to see them kind of back. But three of the four semifinalists were all host, which kind of goes to the whole point about it's so miserable not hosting if you're Mississippi State. So three of the four, Coastal, Louisville, Arkansas, all hosted in Louisville and Arkansas, of course, top eight national seeds. But Arkansas was the favorite. And we said then, since they're the favorite to win it, they probably won't win it. And after what we saw the other night, I think it's pretty safe to say that the Arkansas curse is real. And, of course, I had some, you know, idiot on Twitter won't argue with me. Number one, LSU is one of these teams. We talk about the Cajun voodoo, and they want to argue, oh, it's not the Cajun voodoo, it's the Arkansas curse. Hey, you know, it can be both, clown. So LSU is one of these teams you cannot give life to. You can't. You got to cut the head of the snake off, man. Simple as that. When you beat LSU, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for them, I don't want them to win another national championship. I don't. I'm very envious of LSU. I admit that. They're who we want to be. But it was crazy how that ninth inning worked, right? So Arkansas, with the lead, you know, chance to force a winner-take-all bracket final. They're up 5-3 with one out in the ninth. Derek Curiel hits basically a routine ground ball to the right side. Second baseman's going to make that play 99 times out of 100. For some reason, the first baseman from Arkansas ranges way off the bag and cuts it off. The pitcher's late getting over, who was a freshman, and that's one of those things you ask yourself, maybe you shouldn't have a freshman in that situation, but the argument that I would make is he got the ground ball. He got a strikeout, got a routine ground ball, and he's probably not expecting to go have to cover because that is a routine ground ball to second, not to first, to second. The first baseman totally blows this, throws the ball away, Curiel takes second base. You've given LSU life, right? Here they are with one out and a routine bouncing ball to second. They're thinking, okay, we're down to our last out. But no, no. Somebody tries to do too much, and now the tying run comes to the plate with one out. You've got a runner in scoring position. You end up getting a walk. The kid got rattled, got a walk. And the next thing you know, you get a ground ball to short. And you got Aloy, who's a great player. He'll be one of the first players taken in the draft from the college ranks. Had to make a couple little jab steps to his right, and instinctively he decides to go to third to get the lead runner. It's pretty obvious. In hindsight, could have had a game-ending double play. My thinking about that, too, is, listen, I get it. You want to get the sure out. You have to get an out, okay? But if you take down the guy at second base. The double play is still in order. Not that you'd need it at that point, but you have no chance to turn a double play by going to third. You do have a chance to get it, and it looked like Stephen Milam kind of dogged it down the line. He wasn't even halfway there when that throw went to third. I think short of them maybe just not making the turn at second, you're going to turn a double play. The game is over. You force the bracket winner-take-all final. Instead, he takes a sure out at third, and next thing you know, it's a line drive to left. And it's one of the most excruciating things I've ever seen happen on a baseball field, especially on that stage. It's crazy, man. And you know Charles is back in no doubles, right? You're playing no doubles, right? Because, you know, the run at second really didn't hurt you. It's that run at first. It's a tying run, so you want to cut off no doubles. You don't want to let anything get by you and allow that run to score from first. And it looked to me off the bat that that thing was hit really well. And it was hit hard, but it didn't have a lot of loft to it. So I'm sure his first two steps were back. You don't see that on the video, but I'm sure that's the case. Then he recognizes, oh, wait a minute, this thing didn't hit quite as well as I thought it was. So he's coming in, and I think he slipped. I think he slipped. Could be a scenario, too, where that, you know, that's a topper, right? That's a line drive with some topspin, so it's sinking a little quicker than you think. He misplays it, and then what happens next is just wild to me. The ball hits him in the back and kicks about 50 or 60 feet into that corner, and both runs score. It's a tie ball game. I mean, how many times do you see that where a guy lays out to make a play? He doesn't make it, but the ball just kind of stays close, stays out in front of him, or maybe rolls a few feet to the right. And if it does, that runner is probably held at third. If you're a third base coach like me, I probably send him and force them to throw him out. But considering how far that ball kicked, you almost got to feel like there is something to this Arkansas curse thing. Now you got a runner at second. Jared Jones comes up. I would have absolutely walked Jared Jones. And listen, I get it. Dave Van Horn said in postgame, it's a righty-righty matchup. We never really considered it. I absolutely, absolutely would have walked him. And a lot of it is because of respect and also the mystique of the moment, right? You got to beat back the ghost. And I'm not going to let Jared Jones be the guy that beats me because he has been the hero all year, right? I mean, so you're throwing sliders. You know, you're not going to really give him anything to hit, and he kind of goes down and gets one that's a little bit out of the zone. And he lines it back toward the middle, and the second baseman had a play, but he just wasn't quite long enough. And it goes off his glove, and a winning run scores. And Arkansas sees their season in. One of the best teams in Arkansas history, and they don't get to play for a national championship. But there's so many things about that ninth inning that just don't make a lot of sense to me. And I think, you know, it kind of gets overshadowed because everybody's made such a big deal about the you know, the line drive to left and a double play that wasn't turned. But all this starts, man, with the first baseman trying to do too much. And that's an aspect of this that I think gets lost, because if you just if you go to first base and let the second baseman make that play, and Corral's kind of fleet of foot too, right? I mean, let's just kind of call it for what it is. He is. But it's a fairly routine play. It's two outs with nobody on, with a two-run lead. In many respects, the game's over. And, of course, then you get to the scenario where you pitch to Jared Jones. Remember earlier this week he went 0 for 5. They still won. He goes 3 for 5 in his ballgame with two RBI, including the game winner. And the guy behind him was Josh Pearson. Veteran guy, but I would rather pitch to Pearson than Jared Jones. the name Josh Pearson doesn't strike any fear in your heart. And that's not in any way to suggest he's a bad ball player. But Jared Jones is that guy. Like, that's the circle guy in their lineup. You're like, hey, I can't let this guy beat us, right? And you don't want Stephen Milam to beat you either. But, you know, Milam had basically dialed up a routine ground ball. I mean, you just kind of felt like the game was going to boil down to Jared Jones. So why give him a chance to beat you? And listen, I respect Dave Van Horn more than I can possibly say. But when you watch that thing unfold, that was clearly a mistake. And again, we're blessed with the gift of hindsight. But in that moment, I'm thinking, don't pitch to Jared Jones. Don't do it. I thought he was going to hit a home run. I did it. Maybe it was better this way because Hernandez comes around and scores. You know, and Hernandez, of course, a guy that they got out of the portal. A lot of people thought he'd be a first baseman, ends up playing catcher. Good year for them. Had a good series against us, too. But when I think about these Arkansas folks, and I know many of you take glee in their misfortune, and I understand a lot of their fans on Twitter probably deserve it, right? But when I think about Dave Van Horn, and I think about the people that are, you know, the benefactors in all this, and I think about the fact that these young men believed in each other, there was really no question about it. But, you know, Charles Davelin has been an outstanding player for Arkansas. He truly has. And that's going to be something that young guy, everything that he's done has been erased in the minds of many. Carson Shaddy was as good as any Arkansas player has ever been from a working standpoint. His legacy at Arkansas is overrunning that pop foul that would have been the final out that would have clinched a national championship for Arkansas. He doesn't get it. Oregon State ties it, forces the winner take all. They win it. And the name Carson Shaddy, there are a lot of people in Arkansas, especially in the Arkansas Twitter community, they're like, you know what? Forget that guy, you know? And now Charles Davelin, a guy who has, again, been an outstanding player for them, played a freshman year at Florida Gulf Coast, transferred to Arkansas, and a native of Montreal, Quebec, and Canada, obviously. But it's a kid that plays the game the right way. And that's what's so unfortunate about that, right? He had 346 this year. 14 tanks, 60 RBI, and as Dave Van Horn says, they're not even in Omaha without him. But to see the anguish on that young man's face, because I'm sure he blamed himself, but there was plenty of blame to go around. Now, granted, he makes that play, the game is over, and they play again yesterday. And I'm sure that's something he'll have to live with the rest of his life, second-guessing himself. And to kind of equate that to Mississippi State, conversation I had with Bobby Thigpen. In 2021, out in the right field Tiki Lounge, Hobie Hobart's rig, with Johnny Hayes and stomping all those guys. And Bobby'd had a couple to drink, and Bobby looks at me and he says, man, one pitch. And I was like, nope, Bobby, nope, we're not doing that. He goes, yep, one pitch. He said, that's my legacy here. And I said, no, it's not. He goes, it will be until we win one. And so when we won it in 21, it made me think of Bobby Thigpen. Of course, you know, we're there at the hotel, and, you know, Rafael Palmeiro, you know, Riley Self hands him the trophy, and, you know, it's kind of like closing a loop out, and, you know, it's just one of those incredible moments. But I thought of Bobby Thigpen in that moment and how unfair it is, you know, for guys like him to kind of beat themselves up from not making a play in a game. You know, Bobby, of course, hits the grand slam that puts us ahead over Miami in 85. We just got to go get three outs, and we're going to play in an AFL championship game. And then we knew Texas didn't have any pitching left. And lo and behold, we give up a walk-off home run. And so because of my love and respect for Bobby Thigpen, I have some respect and love in my heart for the Carson Shaddys and the Charles Davelins of the world, because we know what that's like. we know what it's like to see one of our players kind of carry that burden, the weight of the whole program on their own shoulders, thinking that they cost us a national championship, the thing that we wanted the most. And so the thing that I would just maybe ask or suggest is that, maybe show a little grace here. You know, I get it. There are some real jerks in Arkansas Twitter. There are. And there's some real jerks in Mississippi State Twitter, too. That's true. Every fan base has some. And, of course, you have some people that, you know, the thing that's so silly to me is, like, it's one thing if you have, like, a connection or a relationship with somebody on Twitter. You want to go give them a little grief. I get that. And there's obviously some Ole Miss trolls out there over the years that I've enjoyed kind of teeing off on, too. But these people that go jumping like the official account or go attack a player or a coach, I think we should be above that. I think that there's a class and dignity that Mississippi State fans should have in that respect. But I'm a firm believer in people getting their comeuppance and people being accountable. But, you know, Aloy, Davalin, those guys went out there and they played their hearts out for their university, and it didn't work out. And that's a tough way to lose. And talking to my son, Ani, and of course he lives amongst the Razorbacks, married a Razorback, and so we talked extensively about all that. And he said something that I thought was very profound, and it's kind of simple on its face. He said, "Daddy, you had a bunch of guys out there scared to make plays. And when you know what you know about Arkansas baseball and how well they're coached and how well they're recruited and developed, it's like, that's what to me is so shocking about this. Not that LSU rallied in the ninth, because we've seen that a million times. But to see Arkansas kind of fall apart when it was there for the taking, you know, that's the thing that I think is so interesting. Because it wasn't just one play. Like when you go back to 18 and Carson Chatty overruns that, that's the memorable moment. But this was a complete ninth inning meltdown where you had three different players not make a play. And again, I don't have any qualms with that freshman pitcher. He goes out and gets a strikeout, gets a routine ground ball to second, and then gets a line drive to left. He's done his job. The guys behind him, those eight other guys on the field with gloves on, they got to make plays. And so I'm excited about the weekend, but I will be rooting for Coastal Carolina. And I've seen some people, too, get upset about this Mississippi Mudcats thing, about them repping Coastal Carolina because Teal supports Teal, and some people were upset and got their feelings hurt. They didn't do enough to, you know, support State or Ole Miss or Southern. Guys, I don't care about any of that stuff. And maybe you do, but I'm not going to get upset over these perceived slights about this sort of thing. It's not important. What is important is that Brian O'Connor is putting together a roster that we believe, of course, where there's still some more pieces to fill. We got to get some arms, got to get a catcher, got to get another shortstop probably. But you work through this, and we could and should have a roster capable of making a big run next year. You know, this year we knew starting pitching wasn't going to be our strong suit. We thought the bullpen would be, and at times we saw some of that. But there were other times, too, it was very up and down. But offensively, we had a team good enough to get to Omaha. And then once you get there, you never know how the matchups are going to work out, right? I mean, it's just kind of how life is. And you put together a 64-team bracket, and there you go, you know. But the thing that matters to me is Mississippi State baseball. And I want Mississippi State baseball to get back to Omaha. And one of the things that excites me about all of this, and this something you guys may not know, Virginia baseball had zero tradition before Brian O'Connor got there. Zero. Kind of like when Skip Bertman went to LSU. LSU had zero baseball tradition until Skip Bertman got there, and then things kind of began to change, right? Now they're going to compete for their 8th national championship. And the guy that put the first wheel on that wagon was Skip Berkman. Well, you can make, even though it's not necessarily the same level of success, you can make the same claims about Brian O'Connor at Virginia. Prior to O'Connor getting there, they had been to 3 NCAA tournaments. 3. They had never won a regional. They had never hosted a regional. In Brian O'Connor's very first year in Charlottesville, Virginia, they hosted a regional. They didn't win it, but clearly there was a turnaround and a change in culture. Not that we need a huge change in culture. We probably need a change in, you know, realization of expectations. But when I look at the fact that Virginia had very little in the way of facilities and resources. There was even chatter about them dropping to D2 in baseball, even possibly D3. Were you aware of that? There was a committee that kind of put these things together and filed what's called the Turing Report, that they did not think they could be successful in baseball and wanted to turn it into a non-scholarship sport. Guys, that happened just a couple years before Brian O'Connor got there. And then within 9 months of Brian O'Connor taking the job, they host a regional, and all of a sudden, some tradition was born. And so when I think about Brian O'Connor doing more with less at Virginia and building a program his own way, and it took some time, it did. But a guy that's been to Omaha 7 times in 22 years, played for the national championship twice, what can he do here? With the fan support we have, I mean, it's like James Nunnally told me, you know, there were more people at our ceremony to welcome Brian O'Connor than they got for a Friday night ACC game in Virginia. And that's not to cast aspersions or anything at Virginia. It's just to show you that baseball matters here a little bit more than it does most places. So what can Brian O'Connor do with the greatest fans of college baseball, with the greatest cathedral in college baseball, with the finest player amenities in college baseball? That's what excites me. And so the thing that I think privately, and I'll share with you because we're friends, I think there's some teams in the Southeastern Conference that need to realize their little window is closing. Because I believe that Mississippi State, and I can say this because I grew up in this, despite our tradition, we have underachieved. And the fact that I look up and LSU's got 7 national championships, we have 1, and I'm grateful for it, don't get me wrong. But we should be there. Coastal Carolina is about to play for their 2nd. And it'll be their 2nd in less than a decade. Now, we played for 1-13. And then 1-21. But does Coastal Carolina have what we have? You know, my hope and my belief is that we've awakened the dragon. Because I believe we have the coach that has proven that he can do it with next to nothing at a place that has everything. And you hear it when you talk to the recruits and the players, how excited they are about what is to come. And so if you were thinking about giving up your tickets, I'm going to encourage you not to do that because I don't think you're ever going to get them back. I think we're about to enter an era of Mississippi State baseball that we've only dreamed of. And again, I wish we could suit up and play today. I really do. It's going to be a long time till February. And granted, we'll have basketball and football to kind of carry us over, but I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to football season. I'm curious to see what Chris Jans and Sam Purcell can do this year too. But right now, as you think about, you know, here we are just over 2 months away from Mississippi State taking the football field, I'm already thinking about what Brian O'Connor's going to do in year 1 at Mississippi State. If he can take a Virginia team that had never won a regional, never hosted a regional, and in year 1 host a regional, what can he do here? What can he do here? And I think it's okay to dream. If you hadn't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com. Matter of fact, I had to sign some fresh stock yesterday for the dude. You can order online at DutyNobleBook.com. All my sports titles are there along with my personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. And, yeah, thankfully, all these months later, the dude is still number five on the Mississippi bestseller list. You know, maybe just writing things going to work out. Much to the chagrin of others. In addition to that, if you haven't done so, come float with us at True Rest Floats by Starkville. You can call my lovely wife, Dana, at 662-268-7601. She can answer any questions you have. If you're a person that has chronic pain or anxiety, we may be able to help you. We've helped many others. Or maybe you just need a break. Or maybe you want to buy a gift and treat somebody else that maybe needs a break. She can help you with that too. You can download the True Rest app and book online, or you can call Dana and book today. And come join us over at jeanspage.com. Still running at 50% off the annual subscription price. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.